Turning your Bibles to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. It's been an incredible weekend. Right now as we speak, our Spanish brothers and sisters are right next door having their service. I kind of peeped in there. They're having a great time. But I know the singles also, they've had a tremendous weekend. On behalf of Jim and Chandra and really the entire church, I want to welcome all the singles. I know some brothers and sisters came out of town. Can I have you guys stand up? I hope you've been encouraged by the entire weekend. It's been great having you here. And I know a lot of married and campers and teens also helped out on Friday night. You guys did a fantastic and a terrific job. I'm very encouraged this morning because we took the test, you know, over the last 7 days, and some of us still need to turn in our tests. I haven't forgotten. But the exciting thing is a lot of us have passed. And that's exciting to me. Because this is not biology, this is not physics, this is the Word of God. Okay, and I'm excited about that you know, we're memorizing Scripture, we're keeping the Word of God in our hearts, because that's what's going to get you and I to heaven, amen? It's the Word of God that brought us in, and it's the Word of God that's going to keep us in the kingdom of God. And so I just want to encourage you to keep it up, amen? There are 10 more Scriptures coming, you know, before the summer is over. And so, but I'm excited that we're all learning this stuff together, amen? That's exciting to me. Yesterday, Asia Muslim was baptized into Christ. Where are you? Can I have you stand up? And tonight at 5 p.m., Huntley's wife, Fredria Sterling, is going to be getting baptized. Can I have you stand up? She's going to be getting baptized at the Becker's house at 5 p.m. Those of us that can make it, it will be tremendous to see her become a new creation. It's exciting being a Christian. To realize that God loves us and God cares about us. And He's calling us one by one to be His children. Like we've been talking about really the last week, we are all princes and princesses. On Thursday, we emphasized again the fact that we're all saints. Amen? So, I'm addressing your royal highnesses this morning. Because that's what you are. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A people belonging to God. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. And we had from St. Ireland this morning. And then St. Burrell brought us the communion. And thank God for that principle speaking up for you. Amen? I'm sure you and I can look back at our lives and think of events like that, where God literally rescued you. And you can look back and realize that, you know, wasn't for that fact, the trajectory of your life and my life would have been very, very different. But you see, despite all the stuff that God has done for us and continues to do for us, we all have trust issues. Me included. We don't trust our elected officials. We don't trust people. We don't trust our employers. Some of us don't trust members of our family. We definitely don't trust the police. We all have trust issues. Every single one of us. And the reason for that primarily is because we've been disappointed so many times. Because people promise us one thing and they do something else. And if we're not careful, as we go through life, we become very jaded. Believe it or not, the thing that gets me out of bed every morning is the Word of God. To know that God in His Word has made all kinds of promises to you and I. And every single one of those promises are true. And that's what should keep us going. Because God is not human. He's never disappointed us. Yeah, sometimes we go through trials and sometimes we go through challenges. But His word never fails. And that is the title of my lesson this morning, Our God Who Never Fails. In Numbers chapter 23, look at this with me very quickly. Numbers 23, in verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? You say, Moses is reminding us here that, you know what, God is not like us. When God says something, he's going to do it. Are you with me? When God promises, it is going to happen. You and I have a God with an incredible track record. We have a God who's never failed. His word has never failed and will never fail. I read this on Thursday night, but it's worth repeating. You know the story in Genesis 12, where all this stuff started, really? Where God made several promises to Abraham. At that time, it was still Abraham. God told him to leave his country, his people, and his father's household in Genesis 12, beginning verse 1. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree Moreh in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there. He built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. 75 years old. When most people in our world today are in retirement, God says, I want you to leave your family. Leave your comfortable surroundings and go to the land I will show you. 75. I mean, he's a member of AARP at this point. God says, to this land, I will give your offspring. I will give this land to your offspring. Do you realize we're still fighting over that piece of little property to this day? What do you think the issue is about in the Middle East with Israel? We're still fighting over the same piece of property. But God gave it to them. That's what the Bible teaches. Are you with me? And yet we're still fighting over it in 2011. But it's amazing that he got up and he left. Why? Because God said so. And he wouldn't have received all those blessings if he hadn't left. You don't read about him going, well, do I go or do I not? We don't read that in the story. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, he got up and he left. And this, I saw this the other day. I'd never seen this before. In verse 10, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. We're still in Genesis 12. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know that you are a beautiful woman. I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels, and so on. Did you see that?
Now, I've read this passage so many times. I'm sure you've read it too. I mean, the fact that Abraham is, you know, hey, we need to lie here. That's not what I'm talking about. How old was Sarai at this point? 65. We're talking about a gorgeous, awesome looking 65-year-old woman. How many of them do you know? I mean, that was what we just read. I mean, it hit me the other day. I was like, wow. 65 gorgeous head-turning lady. Pharaoh's officials noticed. Said, you gotta see this lady. I mean, in our generation, most people that we consider quote unquote beautiful like that, they're probably 25, between 25 and 30. 65 years old. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to the other side. Sarah, can we talk? Do you have a picture? I want to see what you look like when Genesis 12 was written. But you see, the story goes on because this lady was allowed to have a son at the age of 90. Why? Because God had made a promise. You know, God gave him the promise in Genesis 12. He was 75. What do you call it? When Isaac was born, Abraham, the Bible tells us, was 100 years old. You do the math. 25 years. He had to wait. But God still fulfilled his word. Are you with me? You see, the point is, God makes promises to us. But some of those promises, it may take years before we see their fulfillment. What we like to do, what we want is, you know what, hey, you made a promise now and right now. Just give it to me now. I want it now. We are the instant generation. We like everything instant. I want it now. There's a song like that, right? I want it now. I want it all. Something like that. I don't even know who sang it. The tune just came into my head right now. But see, God doesn't operate that way. And we got to hold on to God's promises. Amen? You see, C.S. Lewis once said that 99% of things we believe are believed on authority. Think about it. We don't have the time or the ability to verify every fact. And yet, as human beings, we act that way. Like, I believe it when I see it. I believe it if I can verify it. It doesn't work that way. A lot of this has to do with faith. Are you with me? God's promises, God is saying, trust me. I never fail. And I will not fail you. You got to hang in there though. Because his words never fail. It may take 25 years. It may take 10 years. It may take 5 years. But God will fulfill his promise to you. Amen? I mean, think about it. There is so much that you and I believe based on the authority and the word of others. Has anybody in here been to Boise, Idaho? Okay, we have a few hands. Okay, a couple of hands. I've never been to Boise. Can you imagine if I stand up and I say, you know what? Because I've never been to Boise, Boise does not exist. I will believe it when I see it for myself. You're going to look at me and say, Richard, you're being foolish. Jim will look at me and say, you know what, Richard, I've been there. Believe me, it's there. They got potatoes too. But you see, I'm going on the authority of other people. Most of what you and I believe in this world is based on the authority of others. Has anybody ever seen Mount Kilimanjaro in here before? Anybody in the audience? Okay, one, two. Okay. What if I told you Mount Kilimanjaro does not exist?
You're going to say, Richard, he does exist. I've seen pictures. I've seen photos. I've seen videos. Right? There's comic relief behind me. Some of these are going to be preachers. You know that. I mean, they see me doing this stuff every week. There's no question in my mind that some of them are going to grow up and they're going to become preachers. Okay? Some of your daughters are going to grow up and be women's ministry leaders. They're going to lead tons of other women. Okay? You can take that one to the bank. All right? But anyway, where was I? Kilimanjaro. Thank you. I'm getting old. I don't remember things like I used to. But you see, the fact that you've never been there doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Because you're taking my word for it. Because I've seen it several times. I've actually climbed it. It wasn't fun, but I did it nonetheless. Okay? We Africans, mountains, what are they for? They're good to look at. That's what a mountain is for us. And a good friend of mine had a brilliant idea that we all go climb the thing. I thought it was going to kill us. Oh, this is fun, hiking. I know, hiking is work. Where I come from, hiking is work. But anyway, we did it, but amen. The point is, there's so many things that you and I take on the authority of others. Why wouldn't we take God at His word? You know, right now, this is a $20 bill, right? 20 bucks, all right? It's got a White House on the back of it. It says, "In God We Trust, the United States of America." $20. It's got Andrew Jackson. Is that Andrew Jackson. Who is Andrew Jackson? Oh, you say, well, he used to be a president. Were you there? How do you know? Again, you're taking that on the authority of others, on history. And that's okay. Now, I've also written on a piece of paper, 20 bucks. You know, I'd love for you to take this, Michael, take this to the gas station. Pump yourself 20 bucks of gas. And, that's my present to you for today. Okay? 20 bucks. Is it going to get very far with that? Why? Because there's no promise behind the piece of paper. That's not legal tender. This is. Okay? If you showed up at Quick Trip with this, they're going to accept this. Because there's a promise behind it. There's no promise behind that piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper. Now, both of them are paper nonetheless. But there's a promise behind this. Backed by the U.S. government, by the U.S. Treasury. Are you with me? The same thing is true of this book. Okay? If not, it would just be a piece of paper. There's so many promises in here that God has given to us. We're talking the highest authority in the universe. Okay? I'm using Abraham as an example this morning. But you see, his promises to us have never failed. And they never will. Amen? Here, get some gas. You know he's thinking it. So I just thought I'd give it to him. And I know some of you are thinking, Richard, give him the money. All high school students are broke, so amen. Look in Psalm 119. And we'll wrap it up here. I'm just beginning to talk about this. I'll continue next week. In Psalm 119. You know how it is when you're a student? When you're broke? You put $5 gas in your car, $10 gas, and you're looking at the needles coming down and down and down. Hopefully you come with another 20 bucks before the thing gets too empty. Those of us who are married, you walk in there, you pump that thing up, full tank. After the week, then you go again, full tank. These kids can't afford to do that. They can't. Psalm 119, verse 162.
The psalmist writes, I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. Not just believing, not just accepting. He says, I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. Amen? That's what we need to be doing as Christians. That's what needs to consume us every day. In Hebrews chapter 6, you can write this verse down, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says that when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself because there was nobody greater than him. And so he swore by himself when he said, you know what? I will make your name great and I will give this land to your offspring. God has made a lot of promises to you and I today as Christians. The question is, do we believe them? Are we rejoicing in them? Do we really accept them? For me, one of the greatest promises that keeps me going every single day is found at the end of Matthew 28. When Jesus says, you know, go make disciples. And at the end of it, he says, I will be with you always. The same God that spoke to Abraham. It's telling me, it's telling you, I will be with you always. 24/7. Every second of the day, wherever you go, you are never alone. You know, when Moses died and, you know, God killed him basically and buried him, God told Joshua, he says, just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, we have a very similar promise in verse 5. It says, God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Amen? Amen. Church, I'm just sharing some of the things that keeps me going every day. That, you know what, when it's all said and done, no matter what happens, God is always with me. God says he will never leave me. God promises you and I in Matthew chapter 6, again, passage we're very familiar with, that he will take care of our needs. That we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. He says, I will take care of that. That's a promise from the Lord, amen? And so, you know, I hope you're encouraged this morning. Because God sees our future. God knows our future. And God has made several promises to us. And those promises, you can take them to the bank. You can trust them. You can live on them. You can totally depend on them. Because they will happen. Why? Because God said so. They're coming from the mouth of the Almighty. He has the authority and the power to back up what he has said, to back up what he has promised. Amen? But you see, we got to accept those promises. We got to believe those promises. And Satan wants us to do the opposite. Satan wants to believe his lies. That God doesn't care about us. That God doesn't love us. That God doesn't have our best interests at heart. That's not the case. And you and I have a choice. Are we going to believe God's promises? Or are we going to believe Satan's lies? Asia decided to act on God's promise this week. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Those who accepted his message, those who believed the promise, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. That's what it tells us in Acts chapter 2. This afternoon, Frida is going to experience the same thing. Incredible promise of salvation. Let us remember that we are saved, we are God's children, and God, as we go along this journey, will continue to help us to reach out to other people so that they too can get the promise. And then one day, we all get to spend eternity with this incredible God and with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all these people that you and I read about. It's going to be worth it. Amen? Amen. We have a God who's never failed. God bless you all.
Okay. So who do we believe? For the moment, I think I'll go with what Richard said. Let's pray, and then we'll all be dismissed. Thank you. Dear God and Father, we come to you now knowing that you are active. You're here among us. You're working in our lives because you promised it, Father. And Father, some of us may not feel that right now, but that doesn't change your promise. Some of us may be embracing you right now, but tomorrow we'll run into problems. But that doesn't change your promise. Father, your promises are faithful. Thank you for that. Thank you for the message that we've received today. Father, thank you that each one of us can be closer to you because you gave us that promise. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the service that we've been able to share together in. Father, help us all to encourage one another, to look out for the needs of one another as we leave here, to meet those needs. Father, thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.